High on a mountainside near the asylum in the ghost town of Jerome, Arizona, you are listening to Jerry and Kathy Wills.
You don't know why.
Comments and views expressed on the Jerry Wills Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect those of Jerry Wills, the Jerry Wills Show, the affiliates or sponsors, or Channel U.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Good evening. Or, you know, deep in the night, wherever you might be. It's time for another episode of Healer Stories. And tonight, I've got three more healer stories for you. These are told really in the people's own words. And if you missed the first one, well, you probably would have enjoyed it. You see, there are a lot of times I'm asked about the work that I do as a healer. And I really don't talk about what I do all that much. You know, someone wants to know a little bit about something. Yeah, I just like, yeah, I helped this person. They had something wrong. I fixed it. They're fine now. And I just leave it at that. I rarely go into details. I just never saw a good reason to do it. And because of that, you know, I've always been a little gun shy of talking about these things as though I'm some big deal, because I really don't see myself as such. Instead, I just do my best to try to help others. And I know a lot of you folks who are watching, you understand that. You probably saw the last show. I'm repeating this for the benefit of those who have never seen this or heard this before. So tonight, we're going to have three different clips, varying lengths. And instead of me trying to describe to you or go into some detail to let you know what I did, because you really don't know how it was for the person anyway, I thought it'd be better if you heard from them. Now, of course, I was reticent to do this for years. Kathy's been suggesting that I do this for a long time. And it was a few months ago while discussing actually the Jerry Wills Show, the whole website, with first he was a client, then he became a good friend. And that happens a lot. He said, you know, I've listened to everything and I've not heard one interview with the person that you've worked with. Why is that? I said, well, because, I don't know, just didn't seem appropriate. You know, I didn't want it to be any big deal. I mean, I used to have testimonials on my website. I don't think I do now. Because, you know, whatever happens in a healing session is really between this person and God. Well, and me too, I suppose. And let's be honest about it. I work on a lot of people. Not everyone is going to get any benefit from what I do. And it wasn't originally quite a troubling thing for me until I discovered that it's not my will that's involved here. It's God's will. So I come to the understanding that sometimes people have things happen that were either meant, perhaps, in a spiritual sense, as something for them to learn from and grow from. And once that's happened, they no longer need to do it any longer, so they can be fine. Or sometimes it's just as innocuous as you walked across, you know, the patio and you stepped on a rock and it hurt. Or you, you hit something with your toe and it, you know, dislocated, you know, bruised, damaged, or broke your toe. There wasn't any great cosmic scheme involved in that. If there's any lessons to be learned, perhaps it's just to be more aware. But really, that wasn't something that was in your path where you could learn some grand lesson, some grand cosmic lesson. And I think those are the people that I can help. Now, I don't know who I can help and who I can't. I wish I could. But then again, maybe that wouldn't be a good idea. You know how human nature is. Would I pick and choose the people that I help based upon me knowing full well that I could help them? And of course, that would take my averages up through the roof. Everyone he tries to help is helped. Well, that's not really honest, though, because there are those that I can't help. And I suppose, in all of God's wisdom, it just turns out that I'm not supposed to know. Sometimes, even after I've worked on someone, I don't know. And over time, we find out together. Well, the ones you're going to be hearing from are people that I have helped. And just like the last one, the last group of stories, these stories are also profound. I've forgotten who I'm going to have on here tonight. Let me just take a quick look and see. Oh, yeah. We have Emily and Louisa from Newfoundland, I think it is, up in Canada. We have another gal, Sandra. She's over on the East Coast. And then I want to play a clip for you. One of the very first clips that ever went around the world. So I'll be playing that for you. And at the end of it, if you have any comments or questions, down below this video player, you'll see there's Discus. Just go down there and type in a question or a comment, and it'll show up here on my phone. It usually does. And I can address that. So let's start with Emily and Louisa Donnellan. It's a mother and daughter. I had worked with Louisa. I think that's right. I get them confused. Anyway, I'd worked with the mother and she had really great success. Then I worked with her daughter and she had great success. And keep in mind, this is over the phone. It's not in person. And that happens so often. The way the world is today, you have to expect that would be the case. At some point, the daughter wanted to get pregnant. And she is a single mom, or is a single woman, let's say. She wasn't a mom at the time. And she was taking these therapies and going to some clinic. And they were going to artificially impregnate her. But because of her age, and I think that they had tried once already and it didn't work. So she thought, why not? Let's ask Jerry. So you'll be hearing about that. That's really the first one up. So I guess without waiting any longer, let's just go straight to the video. And like I said, if you have any questions or comments, you put it down right below, right down there, where this video is. And we'll get to it in a little while. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to Emily and Louisa Donnellan.
Hello. Hello. I'm Emily, and this is Louisa. I was aware from another video that I saw where Jerry had resuscitated somebody who was almost at death's door. I can't remember many of the details other than that he, this man, had been beaten up in a park, and he was pretty much brain dead. And Jerry was called in, and he had a couple of sessions with the man, and the man totally recovered and didn't even have any brain issues. So I thought that was pretty pretty remarkable story and pretty remarkable evidence of the fact that he could heal somebody. So maybe 3 years later, Louisa had an incident at her school. And I'll let her tell you what happened.
So I was an elementary school teacher, and I was crouched down, and a little boy got up and tripped and landed on my head, and he compressed the vertebrae in my back, and I was having quite a lot of back pain. So I was on the phone telling Mom I was laid up in bed and that somebody had to drive me home from school because I couldn't drive my bike, and wasn't sure what to do. And she said, well, you're probably not going to believe this. And, you know, you don't have to. You just need to talk to this guy. His name's Jerry. And, you know, I would have told you a couple of years ago with your ankle, but I didn't think that that was serious enough for you to believe me. But the back is very serious. And if you have a bad back, your whole life is full of pain. So this time I'm telling you, this guy, he can heal people. So you just need to talk to the guy on the phone. And I said, on the phone? Yeah, he's going to heal me on the phone? And she said, yeah. Again, you don't have to believe it. You just need to get on the phone and talk to him. And then you'll believe it. I said, oh, okay. And she said, well, I already paid for it. And I said, okay, well, I'll talk to him. So I got on the phone with Jerry. And He said he was going to take a look. He told me to do some deep breathing and his thing. He was fixing this and that. And as he was fixing it, I could feel my back almost like a back brace going on or something. Like it just felt different. It was able to move more easily. And he said, well, I think that's it. I fixed that. And he said, is there anything else that you'd like me to help you with? And at that point, I said, well, actually, I had an ankle injury, and it's been bothering me for a couple of years. And then he said, oh, yeah, I can see your right ankle. Yeah, you only have 1.5 ligaments left. He knew what was wrong with my ankle without me telling. So he was clearly seeing what was wrong with my body. And he said, oh, yeah, I can help you with that. And he, again, like it felt like I could feel some some little things in my ankle. And then when I got up, it felt strung up. And he said, well, it was going to be kind of slowly releasing over the next couple of days, and that it would feel more healed in a few days. So what it felt like was a little bit too tight for the next couple of days, as if it had been sort of strung up. And what happened was the swelling, because what it I had an injury playing ultimate frisbee, and I tore the ligaments in my ankle, and it got misdiagnosed at the hospital, and I ended up with years of my ankle swelling every day after being on my feet all day at work, and not being able to do things that I like to do, like swimming. I couldn't kick with my right foot. So after this healing, it didn't swell every day anymore. I didn't feel pain in it, the aching, and I was able to swim. So complete healing on the ankle injury that was a couple of years old, and my back. So sure enough, I believed everything she said after that. But I don't know how he does it, but I really like that. He's fixed
all of these things that have, well, one that had bugged me for a long time and one that, you know, I was very concerned about having, you know, lifelong back problems. The possibility of that didn't really appeal to me. So that was the first time that we had Jerry help with something. And then I had another back injury. I like to injure myself doing extreme sports. So I was water skiing and got a little overconfident and tried to do a little trick. And that backfired. And I fell back and basically on the water skis, the tips got caught and I went back and touched my ankles with my head and snapped my back in the middle. And I landed, and that's like my friends were asking me, was I okay? And I didn't give them the okay sign. I just laid there. And I said, I think I might have broken my back. I'm not sure, guys. I don't think it's good. So they got me into shore, and we got a hold of Jerry, and I called them from my friend's house. And again, he, you know, this one really felt like I felt really as if my whole back was put into a back brace, and like I could feel the support and the pain disappearing. I mean, I still felt a little bit of pain for a couple of days, but given what had happened, to, you know, I had to kind of like heal the bruising a bit myself, but given what had happened, I had no lasting ill effects from a very serious water skiing incident. And I could immediately feel the difference in my back when he did his work on it. And then, you know, he actually can help animals too. So my dog was diagnosed with a heart condition. And he worked on her heart. And when I went back to the vet, they said, oh, well, that's strange. She last time had a much more pronounced heart murmur. It was, I think it was like a level 3, and now it was back down to a level 1. It wasn't as serious anymore. They could still hear it a little bit, but they said it wasn't as nearly as serious it has been before. And now she's 15 and she's never had any heart issues. So I think that was a pretty good job too, considering they were giving me a lot of doom and gloom when they told me the diagnosis at the level 3, that she was going to need medication just for comfort and that she probably wouldn't live to her regular life expectancy. So 15 is pretty good for a little dog. Yeah. So knowing all that Jerry had done for us, if you fast forward a couple of years, I was then told that I had fertility issues. They thought that I probably wouldn't conceive, is what they told me, that if I did conceive, it would probably take over a year of fertility treatments. And they weren't really giving me very much hope. So they said that I needed to be ready for the fact that I would try for a year and then maybe I might give up because I probably wouldn't get pregnant. And I was only 35 at the time that they told me that. And I was not in a place to be able to have a baby. I waited another year, and then I spoke to Jerry, and I said, do you think you can help people conceive? And he said, yes, he could. And he confirmed that he thought he could help me. He took a look. However he does it, took a look, and he said, yeah, I can see you'll be able to conceive. You have some good eggs there. And he said that it was more of a hormone problem that they probably were noticing, but that he would be able to help me conceive. So I can't remember whether we had two phone calls or whether it was that time. It's been quite a long time now. It's been almost 8 years, but I guess 9 years if you count the pregnancy. But anyway, the day that we did the actual healing, it was about 2 days before I was to go for my appointment, and they were monitoring my fertility. So he said, I'm going to take this best egg and move it forward and put some energy into it. And as you might have ever done it, Jerry, she's got a lot of energy. She's quite a live wire. He told me, even down to when I would be fertile, he said that not the next morning, but the morning after, that I was going to be fertile, and that that would be when they should do the procedure. So sure enough, with the monitoring, I went in and they tested, and they called me back on the day that he said was the day. And they said, yes, you're fertile now. We'd like you to come in. And I got pregnant on the very first try, and they were flabbergasted there at the fertility clinic because they really thought that I wasn't going to be getting pregnant for at least a year, if ever, that it would kind of be a fluke if I got pregnant, but I did it on the first try. So that was great. And it was a healthy pregnancy, and I had a very big, healthy baby. She was 9.9 pounds and 21 inches. Mm-hmm. And she came out so alert, like staring you right in the eyes the very first day. And she's pretty special. I've worked with a lot of kids in my life. And she's a pretty special girl. She's got really off the charts intelligence, and kind of a knowing about her, and emotional intelligence. She's going to start crying now, Grandma. Anyway, best thing we ever could have done was get Jerry to help with that. And she's wonderful. We've just enjoyed her so much. And now your turn.
She's not only intelligent, she's musical. She loves dancing. She can do ballet, hip hop. She has so many moves.
Jerry told me that that he saw that I was getting a really special person on a live wire. And this is the truth. You'll see in the picture, she's got sort of quite a knowing in her eyes. Very alert right from the start. Oh, and spoke really early in full sentences.
Yeah.
Really not your average bear.
First sentence was, I can do it.
And she can. So anyway, so after that, we had Mum. Mum had her experiences.
Yeah. My experience was with the foot too. I was carrying an overloaded laundry basket down just a short flight of stairs, maybe 8 or so. And somehow I missed a step or misplaced my foot somehow and tumbled down 3 or 4 of the stairs and knocked my foot into the railing so that it, it basically pulled some of the ligaments. I don't know how many, because I didn't even go to the hospital. I remembered that Jerry did Louisa's so well that I thought, do you remember something that I don't know?
I was going to tell the people that you have to know that Emily won't even
go to a doctor or hospital. She never gets the diagnosis of what the problem is, the medical diagnosis. So she can't tell you what she had. She just calls Jerry. She says, I don't want anyone else to mess around and possibly kill me at the hospital. I'm calling Jerry. So
I think you called, didn't you?
Well, no, that was your heart. You called for your ankle.
Oh, did I? Okay, well. So anyway, this ankle was really very sore. And I somehow don't remember much of the details. I just know that Louisa had said that if you don't get it fixed fairly soon, that the ligament stiffens up and it can't be fixed after that. And I didn't want surgery. So so Jerry was available very quick and he tightened the ligaments. And it did take maybe another month and a half for the swelling to go down. It was really banged up pretty severely. But I don't have any problem with the ankle at all. And so I was really, you know, very grateful that Jerry could fix that without me requiring surgery. Next thing that happened, I think it's the next thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the next thing, but it was many years later.
Yeah, it was maybe 10 years later. Well, it was fairly recently. That's last year.
Well, yeah, your heart was this year. Last summer, a year ago.
Yeah, what happened, I was over at my house. I'm here at Louise's most of the time, and I go to check my house, and the refrigerator had stopped for a couple of days. I guess everything in it was all spoiled. So I cleaned the whole thing, and then the next day I went over to check if maybe it had started again. No, it was still off. But I had opened the door and the light the light in the fridge was still on, but the rest of the electrical wasn't working. And the light was so hot, I was afraid to leave it standing there with this light on all the time. So instead of going downstairs and flipping the, what do you call that? The fuse box. I thought, well, I'll just pull on it and get the plug out. But it wouldn't come out. It was frozen in there somehow. So I thought, well, I'll just tweak it a little bit with a knife. And so what happened, you might know what would happen. I gave myself quite a jolt. So I thought, well, at least I've stopped the light and went home. And I didn't think any serious harm had happened. But I guess a couple of weeks later, I started getting palpitations in my heart. And then one morning I woke up and my heart was so heavy, I could just tell it wasn't working properly. So
she looked basically like she was going to die. I was really worried, and she wouldn't get out of bed, which wasn't normal for her. And she kept on complaining that her heart was not working. And then I kept on saying, well, then you need to go to the hospital or the doctor. And she's like, no, they'll kill me. They'll make it worse. They'll give me some medicine that'll kill me, or they'll do some operation, and I'm not going. It'll get better. I'll just sleep it off. And I was like, how about acupuncture? No, I don't want anyone messing with me. I'll heal myself. Well, how about an osteopath? I hear they're really good with hearts. No, that's not it. And I'm thinking to myself, this is not good. This is very bad. And then I went, Jerry. How we gotta call Jerry? She said, yes, let's call Jerry. So finally I found the thing that I mean, you know, it had been quite a few years, like 7 years or something, and
And I mean, also we have this thing, like, we think it has to be really serious before we call Jerry. We don't want to bother Jerry because everybody needs Jerry, and we don't want to call him with anything trivial or use up too much of his energy. So we have this, like, Jerry's for emergencies thing in our head. And, but I determined that the heart problem was definitely an emergency. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, he wrote down what had happened. And it was at a time when Jerry was really busy. He had an interview on Gaia TV, and he had a lot of people lined up. And I think Kathy put me to the head of the queue because it wasn't very much longer. I think maybe that afternoon, Jerry called and he said, "I hear that you've had a little bit of a jolt," which certainly broke the ice. So he said that he would be working on me for the next 3 weeks, working with me for the next 3 weeks. And I can't remember when exactly he started. I think he started immediately. And the next morning I woke up and my heart was back to feeling normal. And I had an absolutely euphoric feeling, just blissful, before really I came to full consciousness. I just knew that everything was fine and I felt so fine. It was amazing. So I wrote to him that he said that he had fixed it, but that I guess that was it. I was talking to him and he said that he had fixed it, but that he would continue to work on it. And the next morning I could tell that it was completely back to normal. So he didn't really need to do anymore. I think he sent energy all through the night. So that's my heart episode. He also mentioned that I was low on testosterone, which, who knew? Women needed to worry about that. And so he recommended Pelle Soto. But we don't have that here in Canada. And I went to the doctor to see if he could prescribe it. And he said, "Oh, no, we don't prescribe testosterone for women your age. You would be a raging granny." So he wouldn't even test for it. He ordered a bunch of blood tests, which I never did go back to find out what he found out, because I felt perfectly fine. But I did find some herbal supplements that I take, and I take them twice a day, about five of them, I guess, and seems to be doing the trick. So I think that's the end of our escapade so far.
Yeah. But we keep Jerry on Rolodex.
I just wanted to jump in for a second and thank you very much for that. I remember the jolt. That was a shocking experience for you. I know for sure. I've had quite a few of these myself. So there you have it, Louisa and Emily Donnellan. And, you know, Louisa had a couple different friends of hers that had been made as a result for going to this clinic. And she had an online meetup group that she was part of through that experience of wanting to have a baby. There were two other women that I don't remember who they were, but they ended up contacting me as well, and both of them also had children. And so now you know, this sounds funny, but Kathy tells me that I have children in Canada now. So I just sort of grin and nod politely. How does it work? Well, I don't know. I mean, as you know, from what I've said in the past, I take a look and I see and I try to help them to be better, to correct things that are off. In a week from today, I think, if you're curious about this sort of thing, I will be doing something that I haven't done in 9 years. As you know, there have been, almost seems like forever, classes that I've offered, class 1, 2, and 3, and it's called the Gateway Series. Basically, what it's all about, it's not about being a healer. It's just about what are you interested in doing to promote or extend your psychic abilities, whatever your aspirations might be. And the Gateway Series, these classes are meant to help you to go to that place so that you can increase in whatever dynamic you're really choosing to do, whether you're a medium, psychometry, clairvoyance, clairaudience. It doesn't matter. It's all part and parcel to different facets of expanded awareness. And these three classes have been very successful, and people have told me they really like them. But I've never had class 4 until now. On this coming Saturday, I think it's the 17th, Saturday or Sunday, I don't remember. You certainly should know better than I do. I sent everyone out a message about it. But I'll be teaching class 4, and it's going to take things to a whole new level for expanding your awareness. And I think, well, if you've done the first 3 classes, you'll probably get a lot out of class 4. What?
Remember when your class is?
I don't know when it is.
It's Saturday.
Is it Saturday, the 17th?
Yes.
See, I guessed right. Thanks, Kathy.
7 Pacific.
Yeah, 7 o'clock Pacific. And it will be archived. So if you can't make it, then you can, of course, catch it later. Let's see. What else? According to my instrumentation, we are having a little bit of a problem with our broadcast stream. No worries. If it does drop out for you, I'm making a recording of this. And as usual, the recording that is being made right now on Vimeo, once I get finished with this program, I will be running it through some processors, sweetening it up a little bit, and then I'll replace the video as you're watching it now with the new and improved version, which will be up, I don't know, probably sometime tomorrow. You know, the gals were talking about me working on animals, and it's something else I really haven't spoken to very much, but I have worked on quite a number of animals, snakes, mountain lions, horses, dogs, cats, parrots, lizards, just all kinds of different critters. And for the most part, the success rate is much higher than people, because the animals, they're just allowing it to happen. People have a tendency to get their mind in the way. And we can go into that at some point if you're interested in knowing more about it. So let's see. Next item up. There is a gal that I worked with. Her name is Sandra. And I worked on her, I don't know, within the past few months. And she very happily obliged to create a video for you to watch. So next up, is going to be her talking about her problems and what she's experienced. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to Sandra Sue.
Hello, my name is Sandy Sue. I live outside of Washington, D.C., a couple miles in Virginia. Right now, I'm at our beach place in Rehoboth Beach, where it's a beautiful day. And I'm a 68-year young woman, and I've had a complicated life. When I was 34, I had, well, let me back up. When I was in high school, I was a gymnast, and I was working on the uneven parallel bars. I had a really bad dismount where I went from 8 or 9 feet in the air, falling to the gym floor onto my tailbone. I missed the mats, went on to the hard floor. It was very painful. My doctor at the time told me that I was very fortunate that I was the age that I was, and that had I been older and my bones had hardened, that they probably would have shattered. But being that I was in the 10th grade, they were a little more pliable, and so they were more of a cushioning effect. Nothing broke. That was until I was 34 years old. And at that time, I was actually doing squats. I heard a squish, and it was actually, I had fractured my coccyx, which was really, really painful. And so that wasn't diagnosed for 15 years. So I had to live with that pain for a long time. Following that, it was just, I went to Johns Hopkins, finally found a great surgeon there who was able to fix my neck. My cervical spine is fused from 3 through 7. Then I subsequently ended up with about 12 total surgeries that included everything from both SI joints to the sacrum and L5 to the sacrum. And then my entire lumbar spine is now fused. And I had a disc going, the next disc up. It's called adjacent segment or disc. They happen to go bad when you don't have the whole spine to flex and to take the pressures that come from a fall or any kind of movement. So the next adjacent disc is the one that goes. I had a car accident in 2000, and that really sent me over the edge. And I had a multitude of surgeries. Coming up to not long ago, I'd say at the end of last summer, I was kind of in a panic to find a way to try to get my pain under control. I was doing the maximum of everything that could be done. And I was seeing all kinds of pain doctors, orthopedic surgeons, neurologists, getting steroid shots and taking the maximum pain medications that can be taken. I was kind of at a last straw. I happened to be watching a show, Gaiam. There's Open Minds by Regina Meredith, who's just a lovely, lovely woman interviewer. And I happened to be watching a show with Jerry. And I said, you're going to, you know, love this. He's not from this place. So I was like, I've got to listen to this guy. And so by the time I got the end of that episode, I got on the internet and I looked up Jerry Wills, and I saw that I could, that you could sign up to have a session. I was like, oh my gosh, I just jumped right on it. PayPal, pay my money, please, then just prayed if I could get on the schedule and see if something could happen. So I saw Jerry, actually was 2 weeks ago yesterday. And I was supposed to last week have a steroid shot that hopefully could keep my pain at bay until I could have the surgery in September. So I ended up canceling that that steroid shot because I didn't need it. I was in better shape than if I'd had the shot itself. When Jerry spoke to me on the phone, we did this long distance, and you know, he's very entertaining, and I was hanging on every word, writing down everything he said, and I wasn't really thinking too much about how I was doing until we got to the end. And Jerry says, "How are you feeling?" And I said, "Well, I feel pretty well, I think." And then he said, "Well, get up and stand up, move around. Let me know how you feel." So I stood up, I moved around. I could not feel that pain. It had been jabbing into me like taking a dagger and just continuously jabbing. That was the effect of the pain that I was having prior to this. So I was doing back bends. I was doing jumping jacks. I was doing all kinds of stuff. And I said, "Jerry, this is unbelievable." He says, "I get that a lot." So I was over the moon. And I was a little concerned. I thought, you know, a lot of times something will happen one day. You wake up the next morning and it can be a whole different story. But I woke up the next morning and I was like, "Oh my God, thank you. I'm still feeling good." And then that evening, I had dropped my iPad. I watch it at night in my bed, and I couldn't find it. So I thought I dropped it under the bed. So I got under the bed. I would stick my head under there and I was looking, and I thought, "Oh my gosh, I can't do this. I can't move like this." And so I was just over the moon. I couldn't believe how well I felt, what I could do. And I hadn't done many things around the house for years. The first thing to go was cleaning the bathrooms, of course, you know, doing all that scrubbing and everything, and then cleaning the floors went, and then I couldn't do the laundry, lifting it up and putting it in and changing them around. And then, you know, so everything eventually went, even carrying out the trash and things like that. So I'm like, "Wow, I feel like I'm going to be able to do some things here." And I went, "Oh my God, oh no, I hope I don't have to clean toilets again." So I was glad. I told my wife about it the next day, and we laughed like crazy, because it was just the last thing I could ever imagine being able to do. And don't tell her, but I really can't do it. I can, but I can't. So anyway, yeah, that's the way it goes. So it's been over 2 weeks. It's been 2 weeks in a day. I'm feeling quite good, and I do have a surgery scheduled in September, but I have a feeling that I'm going to be canceling that surgery, and I couldn't be happier. I really couldn't. So, Jerry, thank you, and thank you to the source and to the goddess.
That's pretty amazing, you know, that your recovery was so complete. Yeah. I've worked on a lot of folks who've had similar issues with yours. You know, I think back, and I don't know how many it's been. I remember this one gal, she was up there in the years, and she loved to dance. But she was basically in one of these, like a wheelchair, really, wheelchair with a walker. And she could get around that way, but she couldn't get around otherwise. And she asked me if I could do anything to help her. I was visiting with these folks up in Northern California at the time. And, you know, of course, everybody knew what I do. And people were, you know, having a party. They were enjoying themselves. And she said, "I'd really love to dance. I just love to dance." I said, "Well, let me see about your knees. So I worked on her knees and worked on her hips. And in about 5-10 minutes, I don't remember how long, but she got up. And before you know it, she's dancing around and just, you know, happy as can be.
Having a good time.
She did have a good time. You know, there are probably at least 1,000, if not more, stories like that. And I really don't know how it works. I don't know how it happens. You know, I tell folks that, you know, it's just the presence of the creator, God, whatever you call God. Everyone has their own word for it, I guess. But I just tell folks, you know, it's just the creator, and you were touched. I guess that's about all it took. You know, it would be very easy to take credit for something so monumental in another person's life. You know, and I know there are some people who do take credit for what they do. I just see it as being God's work, and I'm just happy that it did happen the way that it did, and that they're okay. And you're doing fine.
I'm doing really well. Yeah, real well. I'd say probably about 75% gone. That's significant. That's very significant.
Some of the things that you had, done, you know, the surgeries in your back, things like that are very difficult to bring back, especially when bones are fused. But the areas that still work the way they're supposed to, I've noticed that those seem to just continue to improve over time, and you just get better and better. So I guess it just remains to be seen, you know, what it's going to be like 3 months, 6 months, a year from now. But my philosophy is, you know, when you receive a gift like this from God, that it's a gift, and God's not going to take it away. It's not going to diminish. It's just going to become more and more profound. And I expect that to happen for you as well.
That's divine.
Well, it's fantastic. I really appreciate you taking the time to come on here and relate your story. If you had any advice for anyone listening, what would your advice be?
My advice would be to go onto your website and sign up for a session. It's less expensive than a week's, you know, even a day's worth of treatment for me. It's minuscule in the scheme of things. I'm fortunate that I'm able to do that. And I'm hoping that most people are as well, but I wouldn't hesitate. I would not hesitate for 1 second. I would get on the website and sign up for a session.
You know,
that's all I can say. I mean, it's the proof is in the pudding, and wow, it's amazing.
And having it done as a remote session kind of boggles people's minds. You know, how is it possible to not even be there with the person and have that kind of result? And like I said, I don't know how that works. I really don't. But for me, being in person is a lot more fun. I really enjoy sitting with a person and spending some time with them and, you know, doing that sort of thing. But it isn't possible. A lot of the times, you know, I work with people all over the world, and I just wish that I was phenomenally wealthy and had my own jet, and I could just fly wherever they're at, and, you know. But I guess that's not in the cards.
Well, it could be in the cards. You know, you hit the right patient with the right results, and they can make things happen.
Well, I guess you have a point there. I never thought of it that way. Well, we'll see what the future holds.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Sandy, for taking some time. I really, really appreciate it.
Jerry, thank you for having me on. I hope this can affect someone. I hope it can affect many people, affect your decision. It shouldn't be, it's really, decision shouldn't be in the cards. You should simply do it. You know, for me, there was no thought process involved because I knew what I needed and I knew I needed it badly. So it was just an immediate reaction for me to get on, find how to sign up, pay the PayPal. And it's, like I said, the money I'm saving just from not having to drive to the doctors and back, you know, not having to pay copays, not having to pay for the things that aren't paid for when you go to the doctor, not having to pay for medications. I mean, it really adds up. That, you know, nominal fee is paid for in a very short period of time.
Well, what do you say with something like that going on? I'm just grateful that I had an opportunity to work with her. And I hope she still is doing as well as expected. So that brings us up to the final video. You see, back, golly, I don't even know how long ago it was. It was a very long time. It was maybe 23, 24 years ago. And, you know, Kathy and I were together. And she had convinced me that I needed to use this ability to help others. And of course, you know, as many of you already know, I was a bit intimidated by the concept of doing that because I'd been made fun of way too much in the years before. But I believed in Kathy, and I did as she was giving me guidance to do. It wasn't a question about whether I believed in myself or not. It was a question about whether I felt comfortable around other people doing this. And there were all kinds of things that happened as a result of me embracing it. Just amazing things that happened. One of them, and you might have heard me talk about this before, one of them involved a fellow by the name of Steve Mina, over in Chandler, Arizona. I don't know what Steve's story was. You know, I'd been told a few things, but I don't remember much about it right now. What I do recall is that I went to a care facility, a hospice care facility, because on this day that I was going, which was about, I don't know, it was morning. It was a chilly morning, probably a November, December-ish, maybe even January, February. I really don't recall. Anyway, they were going, Steve was on life support, and he had been on life support for quite some time. He'd been declared pretty much brain dead. His insurance was running out. And, you know, this is just what I was told, not things that I knew the intrinsic details of. Anyway, they were going to unplug him that afternoon because there was no hope for his survival. Now, up to this time, I really didn't like going into facilities. As you know, I'm not a doctor, and I don't even know how to talk doctor talk. You know, they have their own little way of saying things. I finally got over that, but it was a bit intimidating going to this place. I remember pulling up, I had this beat up old car. It was a Mazda 626, looked like a Back to the Future car. And I sat out there for a minute, had a cigarette, finished off the coffee I'd picked up at the Circle K. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, what the hell have I got myself into this time? This guy is brain dead. He's dying. Or he's already gone. His body is still functioning. And what do you suppose I'm going to do about this?
If you've enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and leave us a comment. Subscriptions and your comments cost nothing, but it really helps us out a lot. To hear the entire interview you were just listening to, and many, many other amazing interviews within our archives, please visit jerrywillsshow.com and become a member. Your membership supports our ongoing broadcasts. That's jerrywillsshow.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this program.